Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to Lovecraft Country Crossing, a weekly recap and review of the groundbreaking HBO series. Tune in as Megan and Maria discuss, dissect, and dish on each episode, and speculate on what is yet to come. We are now entering Lovecraft Country. Join us, won't you?
Welcome to episode 3 of Lovecraft Country Crossing. I am Megan.
I'm Maria.
And we wanted to start off this episode by giving a shout out to Black Girl Squee for their shout out to us on their most current episode, and we'll link that in the show notes. And they said that they were grateful that there were like two black women reviewing the show.
Hey!
To drown out, like, the voices of, like, all the white people are reviewing this show and missing certain things that only black people can, like, the nuance, like, the shout-outs and the nods that the executive producers and creators and writers of Lovecraft Country, you know, give to us, the black audience. So, thank you guys for shouting us out. It was super appreciated.
Yes, very much so. Those are very cool ladies. I'll definitely give them a listen.
You should. They're very, very funny. Okay, so this is episode 3, titled Holy Ghost. And both Maria and I have copious notes.
Yes.
Because so much happened in this episode. So much. So, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. So, we have Holy Ghost, and it starts off with Letty is in the church on probably a Sunday morning. Everyone's around her, clapping, singing, standing. People are praise dancing the aisle, all that stuff, you know. But she's just sitting there, just kind of motionless, not participating. She doesn't feel what they're feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and it's most likely she's got some survivor's guilt over what happened, with the Braithwaites and Uncle George, and then her actually coming back to life.
Yeah.
Not Uncle George not doing that. So she's trying to feel that something, because in the first episode she tells the crowd that their church days were long gone. Here she is back at church.
Yeah.
So she's definitely, you know, experiencing some trauma from what happened. And then we get to some text on the screen.
Yes. I actually had to pause it to write it down. In the summer of 1955, a group of Negro men and women moved into a house on the north side of Chicago. 10 days later, 3 people went missing inside the house, never to be seen again. Pioneering is dangerous.
But it talks about how 10 black people moved into a house in Chicago in 1955, and how 3 people went missing, and they were never recovered.
Yeah, they were never heard from again.
Yeah. And then it says, pioneering is dangerous.
Yes.
Right?
And also, the title card for the episode actually has, like, a house with roots under it, and a coffin with a skeleton under it. And I was like, this show is nothing if not ominous at all times.
I love it. And then we have Letty and Ruby. And Letty is telling Ruby, she's so excited. She's like, oh, wouldn't you love to never pay rent again? And, you know, you can come live with me. I bought this house and everything. And Ruby is a little more dubious.
Ruby does not trust the house.
No.
She does not trust any of this.
Not at all. And one of the things Letty first says about the house is that it has 13 rooms. And I was like, Letty, come on.
13 rooms? How many bathrooms? Like, but still, 13 rooms?
It's the number 13, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she takes her inside, and we see this view of this enormous, like, Black Widow spider building a web. And they're going through, like, the living room and the dining room. And you can see, like, food that is rotting on the table. There are books that are open. Drink is still on the table. Like, the last people in there left in a hurry.
Yeah. Like, left mid-meal. Like, we gotta get the fuck up out of this house. like, right. We gotta go.
Right. And so she's telling her she's purchased this house, and they're gonna have, she's gonna use it as a place for Black people to live, where they can be safe on the north side and all this stuff. And Ruby finally relents and says she'll stay as long as she gets the biggest room.
Yeah. And they're going, and like, Letty is just like, the best part is it has an elevator.
Right. And so they take a look at the elevator and they don't see anything. And then all of a sudden it starts rushing towards them down, coming very fast. They almost get hit with it.
Yeah.
Letty kind of laughs it off. She's like, I'll have it fixed. And Ruby is like, no, thank you.
Ruby is just like, that's not funny. That's not funny.
No. Yeah.
Like, and like, you can see when Letty closes the door, she's just like, okay, so I don't know about this, but all right. So she just closes the door and just gets on to be excited about the house.
She's like, oh, I guess it's just malfunctioning, you know.
Yeah.
And I have had about that. I have had like nightmare after nightmare of being on an elevator that's falling. Like
I don't know if I have. It's not something I want to be a part of. Like it no.
No, not at all, never. I would appreciate to never experience that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oof. I actually worked with a woman who like we have an elevator that goes down to the first floor, and she would always take the stairs. She was like, I'm good, I will meet you guys at the staff entrance downstairs. Goodbye. Like, she would not get on the elevator to save her life. And it's just like, it was probably why.
Yeah. I mean, I've never had a negative experience on an elevator, but that is just, like, something that haunts my dreams for some reason.
Yeah, it's an oof. No, absolutely not. And then... I have in my notes, nosy as white people.
Yeah. Because so, as they're coming down the street, there's a whole, like, theme throughout the show of white people just kind of watching Black people who are minding their own business.
Yeah. It's like, if y'all mind y'all own business, maybe y'all, like, you know, would have joy in your hearts as well. But you constantly stay with your nose in somebody else's business. And, like, shut up.
Like, let these folks be. Right.
Exactly, let them be. And then so we cut to Hippolyta getting up, and she's at her dressing table, and she's getting ready for the day, and Dee yells in that Tick has finished burning breakfast. And she's like, you know, just getting ready. She takes out this copy of Dracula, and she, like, touches it and caresses it, and she opens it, and she just starts ripping out the pages.
And to me, like, it looked like she was ripping them out until she felt like she could go outside without crying, basically.
Yeah. Like, she's trying to, you know, curtail her grief and her anger as best she can before she has to face her daughter and her nephew. And, like, and it's George's favorite book, so it's just, like, it's so much, like, I don't have the language to,
there's
like...
There's just so much grief and fury in her performance. I mean, she's doing this wordlessly, but you can tell exactly how she's feeling.
Yeah, because she's, like, staring off, like, she's not looking at herself. She's just, like, looking ahead, and she's just, like, ripping the pages. Just this kind of, like, quiet rage that she has to keep even quieter. Because she can't let she can't let Tick see how she feels, and she can't let her daughter see how she feels.
Right. And so, you know, she goes out where they're preparing to eat breakfast, and Tick is doing his thing, and Dee is setting the table. She kind of sees that she set a table for her father, and she's just like, you know, kind of stuck by that. And you know, Tick kind of gets her out of that, and she says, everything's Jake. And I was like, everything's Jake? I had to look that up. And it's basically like saying everything's cool. Yeah. Jake was what you would say before we actually use cool. So while he's doing this, Hippolyta comes in, and she starts pouring herself some coffee. And then she starts to pour another cup of coffee, which would have been for George.
Yeah.
And she stops and realizes he's not here. And then she also realizes that when Tick washes the dishes, instead of putting them down, open face down so they can drain,
Yeah.
he has them open face up. Which I was like, Tick, come on, have you never washed dishes before?
You can see this is like the aggravation on her face of just like
It's just, all these little
she's just
things.
like, but he can't help it. It's not his house.
He's trying to do his best,
Yeah. But you can see that like,
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
like they're kind of strained because he's trying to be there and
Yeah.
she wants to say like, I don't need you here, but like it's yeah, a lot of stuff goes unsaid between the two of them.
Yeah. I feel like his presence there just kind of reminds her of how much George isn't there because of how much
Yeah.
he isn't like George, in all these
Yeah.
tiny little ways. And it's just, it just gets in her and is digging inside of her.
Yeah.
And Diana actually makes this comment to Tick that she wants to go to the junkyard to get some parts to make a robot.
Yeah. 'Cause she's a little STEM queen. Bless her. And then Tick is just like, "Oh, I'm not gonna be here tonight." And Dee is just like, "We've been staying here for weeks." And he was like, "Oh no, there's some stuff I gotta do." And yeah, it's pretty much just like, I've overstayed my welcome. Like, it's time for me to go. Yeah. 'Cause like probably like the first week we also are told that it's been a month. Like 3 weeks to a month. And so like, like the first like 2 weeks was okay, your family, I'm gonna be here for you. These later 2 weeks have been just, so when are you gonna find a place to stay? But I can't kick you out because you're family.
Oh
But I want to tell you to go, but I can't because you're family. But I need you to get out of my house.
And also she has these questions growing in
Yeah.
her mind about what happened to George and what they know versus what they're
Yeah.
telling her. And so there's also that constant reminder as well. And it,
Yeah,
you
and you
know.
can see, yeah, you can see on her face because Tick says that like the printer called about the travel guide, and he just approved the for it to go out to print, and Hippolyte is just like, okay. And it's like one more thing that like that sets her on edge and gives her more questions.
Right. I mean, I don't think it was the wrong thing for Tick to do because it had been like a month and they had been waiting a month for these notes. But it just feels like she may have been holding on to them because it was kind of the last thing she had of George.
Yeah. And she didn't get to look over them, and it was just, and that, it's kind of like this innocuous thing. But it also, she also has all these questions, and it's another thing to add to the list of questions that she has. You can see like her body language on her face that she's just like, as much as I'm pretty sure she cares about Tick, she's just like, you know what happened,
Right, and you're not
and you
telling
will
me.
not tell me.
Right.
You won't tell me. Just tell me. And so then Tick goes to his dad's. So like Tick goes to his dad's, and Montrose is passed out drunk on the floor, kind of talking to himself a little bit. And Tick goes and gets some water and throws it on him to wake him up.
And he's very unhappy about that.
Very unhappy. And then Tick starts to relay this story that Montrose and George told Tick throughout his childhood, that they were getting beat up by some dudes, I'm assuming some white kids. And this guy in a Jackie Robinson baseball uniform comes out of nowhere with a baseball bat and just starts knocking heads and says, "I got you, kid." And so that explains why Tick in the first episode randomly had Jackie Robinson like, appear to
Right.
him and, fight Cthulhu
Yeah.
for him. And then Tick tells Montrose is like, "Hey, can I stay here? I've kind of overstayed my welcome at Hippolyta and George's." And And then he starts to relay, like, you know, maybe we should tell her. And Montrose is just like, tell her what? That wizards exist? Like, what are we gonna, like, what could we tell her that she could possibly believe? Like, because they came up, all three of them, Montrose, Tick, and Letty, came up with a story to tell that, you know, they were accosted by a sheriff, and the sheriff shot George, and they killed the sheriff, and buried his body somewhere, you know, took care of him, and, you know, that's how George came to no longer be here.
Right. And while they're having this conversation, or before they have this conversation, Montrose gets up and resets the record player, because it had been skipping.
Yeah.
Or he'd been asleep in his, you know, drunken stupor. And what he's playing is Marian Anderson, who was a famous opera singer.
Yes.
For about 40 years, between 1925 and 1965. And she's singing Staunchen, which I'm probably saying it wrong. It's German. But I just, I actually Shazammed it, because I was like, I don't know this. And you know, but it's beautiful, and you should definitely check it out.
The link to it will be in the description in the show notes.
But you can see Montrose is kind of, he wants to, like, move past it. He's angry about it. He wants to move past it. Tick, on the other hand, wants to keep digging in it and come clean about it. And this is just two perspectives that are never going to meet. And Montrose gets extremely angry with the way Tick won't let it go.
Yeah. Because you can tell kind of in, like, it's gnawing at Tick because he wants to be honest. And he wants to, like, he wants to validate their experience. And, like, but Montrose is also right. Like, how can we...
Right.
Wizards are real. Like, these, we...
How do you explain that to somebody who didn't see
what
happened?
Yeah, how do you explain that to somebody? How do you explain that there are these white people up in the north who have magical powers? And, like, the society of people who have magical powers. Like, how do you explain that? And it's just, yeah, and then, you know, Montrose kind of gets angry and bangs on the table. And then Tick is just like, I can't stay here. So he leaves. Because I think he's also afraid that, like, if him and his father get into it, like, he's going to hurt his father. Because he's a grown man now.
Yeah.
He's not a little...
Yes, very, very grown, well-formed young man.
I actually looked up Jonathan Majors' age. He is 30. His birthday is in, like, 6 days. He's a Virgo.
I love a Virgo? No.
And he has a 7-year-old kid.
Oh, really? Wow.
He has a 7-year-old daughter, which I was like, okay. And, like, because I read an interview, and he was like, his daughter's mixed race. I was like, yeah, he fucked around with them.
No!
Right?
You are not the only person I've heard say this.
I was just like, he looks like the kind of dude who fuck around with them white girls.
Oh my god.
And it, like, it's just like, it was also when we, like, realized that, like, the actor who played M'Baku has, like, you know, a white passing Asian girlfriend. And it was just like, no. Winston Duke, like, his girlfriend is a non-black person of color.
I don't like it.
I don't either, but, you know, I don't know if he still fucked with them white girls, Jonathan Majors, but he has fucked with them white girls in the past.
In the past.
I don't know if he's reformed, you know.
Reformed. Seen the light.
Yeah, I don't know if he's...
Changed his ways.
But, you know. But, yeah, he was fucked with them white girls at one point, so it's like... He also did go to, like, Yale, though. He went to, like, the Yale School of Drama, so...
Oh, very
yeah,
fancy.
So, anyway. So, now the title card says Day 2.
Yes, and they have these title cards throughout the episode, and they always play, like, this incredibly loud noise whenever the title card comes up. But I'm already, like, so on edge, I guess. or prepared that it did not bother
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's
at
just
all.
Like every episode, like, and I'm not an anxious person, but every episode, right. My anxiety before the title card is already just like, I feel like I need to start drinking before I watch this show.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't drink, so I'm just like.
I'm sure you're not the only one. Yeah. But we go back to the house.
Yes.
And it's move-in day.
Move-in day.
And
yes.
So, yeah. We've got movers, you know, moving the furniture everywhere, trying to find places to put boxes. And we've got some of the boarders that Letty wanted to bring in. And the first one we meet is this guy named James. He says he's a novelist. And he has a dog named Baldwin.
Just those little things they continue to put in the show.
Yes,
just like, and
I
love
it
when he looks into Ruby's room, and he's like, "Oh, are you a novelist too? Are you a novelist? I am too. My name is James." And she was just like, "Nice to meet you." And she slams the door.
Slams the door in his face. She's not interested.
And Letty was just like, "Please excuse my sister's rude behavior. She gets it from her father."
Right. And she passes by another boarder's room. And they ask her, hey, there's a lot of room downstairs in the basement. You think you could turn that into a dance studio? She's obviously a dancer.
Yes.
And Letty says, no, she can't because she can't make any drastic
changes to the house.
Changes to the house because of her installment contract.
Yeah.
So installment contracts were a thing that were used often in Chicago and other places as well to basically keep black people from buying and owning property.
Yeah.
So with an installment contract, you would pay, you could be paying a bank, you could be paying another third party who's supposed to be paying the bank.
Yeah.
And you'll have this contract saying all the things that you can and can't do with the house. You'll make all of these payments. And if you somehow break one of the rules in the contract, all that money is gone and you can no longer live in that house.
Yeah. It's not even like rent or a mortgage. Like,
no,
it's something completely different. Because I've heard of installment payments before, but it was one of those, like, just talking about the ways that black people were disenfranchised, and it was just, like an offhanded remark before, like, moving on to another subject. But I'd heard of installment payments before. I did not realize how insidious they were.
They're absolutely incredibly, like, just, they're total scams. That's all they are.
Yeah, like, it's almost a pyramid scheme to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, because they'll find some way near the end of your contract or whatever to say, oh, no, you missed this, or you did this thing that you weren't supposed to do, and, well, now we have to kick you out, and now we get to sell it to somebody else on an installment contract.
Yeah. It's like,
and you never get to own anything.
Yeah, it's also, it's damn near like slumlord behavior. Like,
yeah, it is.
So Letty says that she's going downstairs and seeing everything, and then Tick shows up.
Yeah, she's taking pictures and Tick shows up.
And
they haven't seen each other in 3 weeks.
They've seen each other since George's funeral.
Yeah.
And they are, it's like super like reserved, the two of them, like their interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And Tick says he went by Ruby's old place looking for Letty. And he heard, like, the neighbor say that Letty won the numbers and bought a house and moved to the north side.
Yeah.
And, like, for people who don't know, the numbers was kind of like this, like, community lottery.
Yeah, it was a lottery.
Yeah, it was a lottery. It was very, like, black people specific. Like, white people had, like, a version of it, but... I think for a period of time, black people weren't allowed to enter, like, the lottery. Like, the official lottery, like a state lottery, so we just created our own.
And I think this was even before we had, this was definitely before we even had state lottery.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure what white folks were doing. But what black folks were doing around the numbers, so somebody would come by, you know, every day or whatever it was, and ask you what numbers you wanted to play.
Yeah.
And so they'll write down your numbers, they'll take your money. And then, you know, you see if you hit the numbers or not.
Yeah.
And if you hit the numbers, you win, you know, a certain amount or whatever. And if you don't, you don't, just like the regular lottery.
Yeah. So, and like, it's like a communal pot. So, like, everybody who puts in or bets, essentially, whoever wins gets that huge pot of money, or that small pot of money. So the story going around is that Letty won all this money and she went and she bought a house. And so Tick is coming by to say, like, you know, he's leaving town and he needs to, you know, get back to Florida. And Letty's just like, well, at least stay for the housewarming party. She's like,
I got an empty room you can stay in.
Yeah. It's like, you got an empty room you can stay in, at least stay for the housewarming party. And Tick is just like, well, I told my boss I'd be only gone for a day or two. And that was a month ago. So.
Right. And I'm like, if you told him that and it's already been a month, who cares if you're out in the next couple of days?
Yeah, I just assume you're unemployed, Tick.
At this point, really, right.
I just assume you ain't got no job to go back to. And you're just looking for a reason to stay. And Letty is kind of your reason to stay. So Tick kind of moves in.
Well, while they're having this conversation, you start hearing these car horns blaring.
Yeah.
And they go outside, like everybody in the house goes outside, and you see three cars, white man standing by each, and they've tied bricks to the horns of their car so that these horns will blare day and night.
Yeah. And, like, the cops roll by, and they just look over the shoulder and smile. So, like, you know, all cops are bastards, have been so for a very long time.
Oh, a very long time.
And then we get the title card of... Oh, no, then Ruby comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like...
She's like, here we go.
Here we go. So it begins. Like, it's going to be Trumbull Park all over again.
Yeah. And Trumbull Park was a community in Chicago where there were some... basically whites harassing this black family who had moved in to the public housing there, to the point where they had to have hundreds of police come out to just try and keep the crowd from killing these people.
Yeah. It was like, it
they were trapped in their homes by all this harassment.
Yeah. And I think it was, cause I didn't know about this. So of course I had to look it up. Where it was just a mistake, they thought that the woman who applied was a white woman because she was very fair-skinned. And it turns out she was a black woman, and it was a black family. And to try and rectify the situation, they also granted housing to 10 other black families, thinking that was going to make the situation better. Twas not. And so it got to the point where the police always had to be there, and I think it was like a decade before, like, black people could use the park freely, like, the public space freely without police being there to make sure they didn't get hurt.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And the neighbors in Letty's neighborhood are now putting these signs in their yard saying, this is an all-white neighborhood. Undesirables must go.
Yeah.
What strikes me is, like, very northern. Right?
Yeah.
Just calling them undesirables.
Yeah.
Because then you could say, well, I'm not racist. I just don't want undesirables in my neighborhood.
But who do you consider undesirable, ma'am, huh?
Right, right, exactly. You know, in the South, it would have just been like, nigga, get out of here.
Yeah.
You know,
Northerners, like, and make no mistake, the North is just as racist. It just, their racism just moves a little differently.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can even say up here, because I live not that far from the Mason-Dixon line, so I'm not super northern, but I'm north enough. Like,
yeah, I've been to Boston a few times. Like, I can't wait to get back home to Atlanta. Okay,
Boston's a whole different level of like.
Whew. It is. It's in the air. It's a really weird like feeling.
But then we cut to Letty sleeping in her room, with like you know. Not a comforter in sight, just a top sheet.
Yeah, because it's like
you can tell she's. Yeah, you can tell she's sweating in her sleep. And we see a severed hand start to pull at the bed sheet. And I was like, severed hand, what?
Yes!
And then, like, Letty, like, rolls over. And then we see this, like, grandma ghost just staring at her.
Just kind of like I'm crouching just, beside the bed, and all you can see at first are her eyes over the bed.
Like, her eyes, yeah. And then, like, she slowly comes up, and you see, like, she doesn't have a jaw. And my only thing is just, like, listen, ghosts. You haunt me in the nighttime like everybody else.
The daytime is for the living.
The daytime is for the living. This is the only respite I get when the sun comes up. Your ass goes away. You can't be staying here clocking in overtime trying to get me to piss myself.
This is our social contract.
Exactly. You go back into the walls when the sun comes up. That's what we agreed on. fucking up my morning. But anyway, so this ghost, yanks the sheet off of Letty, and she wakes up with a start. She's like, huh, what? And she gets up, she goes to her window, and you can see, the condensation on her window, and just how hot it is. And she, opens the window, and the car horns start blaring. They're still going. This has been going on since, day two. So it's 3 full days of just, noise.
And it's for the whole neighborhood. And I'm like, y'all really just, you hate letting this ride in so much. You will also sacrifice your sleep and your peace to try and get them out.
That's just a whole nother level. I don't care about anything that much.
No, I really don't.
I don't hate anything that much.
Mm-mm. Not to the point. I mean, if I did, I would just remove myself from the situation.
Yeah. It's I at that point, I was just like, I mean, y'all can just go. Y'all don't have to live like this. You really and truly, at least for this moment, you don't have to live like this, girl.
You really don't.
But I understand. Pioneering is dangerous. Yes. But Letty looks at the radiator, she's like, fuck, because there's smoke coming off of the radiator.
Yeah.
And so she goes downstairs to the basement, and she sees that the radiator has been fucked with.
Oh, this is the boiler. Right?
The boiler.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't own a house. I don't
it's
know
okay.
House
Dude, nobody even use. I don't know if anybody even uses boilers anymore. I remember reading so many books about the boiler room at school or whatever, and I'm like,
yeah.
What is that? I've never seen that. But yeah, so the boiler is overheating and it's due to tampering, right? And
yeah.
I keep thinking, who tampered with it? Was it the ghosts or was it the neighbors?
Right.
The more I think about it, I think it was the neighbors. Because
I think it was the neighbors.
Yeah. Because I think the ghost was trying to wake her up to warn her, hey, look, this boiler is out of control. You might want to.
Yeah. I think, I don't want to get too far into the episode. Because we're not there yet.
Right.
But I don't think the ghosts are trying to harm her.
No, they're not.
I think they're trying to scare her. But I think at the same time, they see something in Letty.
Mm-hmm.
The ghosts see something in her. So they are just okay. At first, I think they thought it was just somebody else moving into this house. We have to get rid of them. But I think the longer she lived there, there was just we don't have to get rid of her. She can possibly help us.
I don't even think they're trying to scare her or get rid of her.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to make it known that they're here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you were saying, Letty goes down to the basement.
Yeah, Letty goes down to the basement. She sees the boiler has been tampered with. And so she's just then she hears something. And she's like, what is that? And so she starts going through the basement. She walks into so many spider webs. My God.
She walks over a bear trap.
Where is this bear trap? Where does this bear trap come from?
Also, she's not wearing any shoes.
At all. Ew. Ew. I'm somebody who lives in socks in my own house.
Right.
I can't be out here barefoot. No, at
be barefoot or whatever in your areas or whatever, but if you're going to the basement that you've never been in before, you don't know what's down there. Put some shoes.
And there was a bear trap down there and
right.
A whole bunch of spider webs.
Yeah, and someone did mention that they did used to use bear traps when they were trying to catch runaway slaves.
It was actually common practice.
Yeah, but you said there was bear traps. She ran through all these cobwebs, which, oh my God, ugh.
See, the cobwebs didn't bother me because I'm not afraid of spiders.
I'm not necessarily afraid of spiders, but I fucking hate it.
Yeah. I mean, they are gross.
Right, and then also, you know, you've been outside and you just suddenly walk into a spider web that you didn't see, and you're just, oh my
Yeah.
God, get it off me. Right.
Might go in a shower.
And she also sees like this spooky to me, like rotting plush doll.
Yeah.
That part
Old
was
dolls
like
are
the scariest
creepy.
to me. I was like, oh.
Old dolls are creepy. I don't care what anybody says. I know people love collecting old vintage 1940s, 50s, and 60s stuffed animals. Those things are fucking
No,
creepy.
thank you.
And they're also haunted, just so you know. But
Probably, yes.
anyway. And then she like knocks against an old like anatomy, a mannequin that's like, you know, cut in half. Like the one full side of the skin, and the other one like eyes and veins and stuff. And then she hears more noises, and she hears like voices. And she's like, what is that? And then like there's a hatch in the basement. So it's like a sub basement in the basement. And like this hatch door just starts shaking and it slams. And you know, she's just like, oh shit.
Right. She runs
And
off.
then she runs off, and then she next scene she gets Tick to come downstairs with her. And the only thing I have written about this scene is, oh my God, Tick's arms.
That black tank top was working OT, okay?
Oh my God.
I was like, I would feel so safe.
I would feel so safe. I would feel so safe as I casually bend over this bench. And Letty was just like, there was something down here. I know that there was. And Atticus is just like, I mean, it's no surprise you're hearing things after what we've been through. Like,
He basically thinks she's suffering from PTSD or shell shock, as they would have called it back then. And
yeah.
she's telling him, you know, about the noise and the heat, and he's like, oh yeah, those are tactics we would have used in Korea. And but he doesn't elaborate on why.
Yeah. It's psychological torture. It's to
Right.
make you unhinged, to make you unsteady, to make you sleep deprived, so you can't defend yourself. Like, these white people are using war tactics
Right.
to get these black people out of this house.
Right.
Like,
But they moved into a house nobody was living
right? Like,
in.
nobody was living in this house.
It was in a
We
state
moved
of
in,
disrepair.
right? Like, if y'all just keep y'all nose out of everybody's business. But anyway, so we get the title card. No, okay, before that, like, you know, Tick's trying to comfort Letty, and she's just like, oh, thank you for staying. And she takes his hand, and Tick moves away from her.
Well, he says, you know, he'll stay a few more days.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, you don't have to do that. And he
He's like,
says,
but I will.
but I will. And I was like, oh.
Like, out of a fucking romance novel.
Right.
Fuck you.
Just kind
You
of
can't come.
all of a sudden, I wasn't expecting it.
You can't come down here while I'm in my headscarf, my pajamas, and you're in a tank top that's clinging to every morsel of you, and tell me that when I tell you you don't have to stay, you look me in my eyes, sir, and say, like, and I say you don't have to stay, and you's like, but I will.
Without
No,
hesitation.
without hesitation. How dare you? How dare you?
Then, like you said, Tick pulls away, but he encourages Letty to use that room as a dark room for
Yeah.
her photograph developing because he wants Letty to live her dreams.
Like a fucking hero in a romance novel. Fuck you, Tick. Like, how dare you come on my screen week after week and be perfect
And unavailable to me.
and unavailable to moi? Like, how
It's so
very
insulting.
dare you? It's just slap me in my face. Just call
Disrespect.
me a dirty.
The
Like, just call
disrespect.
the disrespect. The disrespect that you are bringing to me week after week. But anyway. So, title card now says day 8. And this housewarming party is a rip roaring time.
Right, I want to be
And
there.
right? And again, white people, just looking out the window, shaking their heads.
Those Negroes like, are really having a good time.
Good time. How dare they? And, like, and so we see Letty coming down in this fantastic, was it blue or green? Because it kept changing.
Kind of like a deep teal.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost. With, like, black fringe.
Yeah.
Like, slightly off the shoulder. Yeah. I was like, yes, Letty.
Back in her red lipstick.
Back in her red lipstick, walking around with, like, a pitcher, like, filling everybody's drinks.
Yeah. She's
and,
got
like,
because
it's hot as hell in the house. Did you call it a hunch punch?
Yeah. What do you call it?
I have never heard that.
Oh, really?
I have never heard it called hunch punch.
Yeah.
But she's like filling everybody's glass because the radiator is still acting up and it's still hot. But heat has never stopped us from having a good time.
No.
So we are dancing. We are cutting a rug. Ruby is on stage singing.
Mm-hmm. And you can see Tick kind of avoiding her at the party.
Yeah. And he's like, he's in his uniform.
Yes.
Because again, the disrespect. How dare you?
I'm so disrespected right now.
So disrespected. Just slap me in my face at this point.
And he kind of goes out on the porch because he wants the neighbors to see a military man lives there.
Yeah. And so he comes back in. Actually, no, before that, like, Letty's making the rounds, filling everybody's, like, glasses and stuff.
Being the hostess.
And she walks in on these people in the library talking about Martin Luther King and, you know, gossiping as we black folks do. And it's like, well, you know, he was engaged to a white woman, but they made him marry a Negro last year.
Right.
And it's just like, and for those who don't know, yes, MLK was known for, one, being you know,
unfaithful,
that's the word I was looking for. About to say felonious. I was just like, that too, but like for a good cause.
Felonious for a good cause.
But yeah, he was known to be unfaithful, and he was known to chase after white women.
Well, he actually did have a white girlfriend when he was in college. There was an article written up about it, and they just really got along really well. He also thought it would be something to like show people that black and white people can get along. But this, I mean, he was like 19, so he was really young.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure his thoughts on that changed as he got older. But yeah, he did have a white girlfriend, and they were very serious. I don't know about them forcing him to marry Coretta or anything like that, but they did eventually break up. And, you know, it's like, you know, because they say, what was it? Well, Letty says, and people keep taking this seriously, but I really think Letty is teasing when she says, you know, you can be in love with a white person and still fight for our rights, you know. And then she says, I guess.
You know? Yeah. And so it's just like you could still be a black person and still have a white partner and still be about your people. Like, but I, like, it's a double-edged sword.
Very much so. And especially in those times, you know, as much, you know, 100%. Interracial marriage was illegal.
Was 100% illegal. You people know. Got killed behind it.
Exactly. Not to mention socially dangerous.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I found the scene funny because it's like, you know, just black people in like the library just gossiping. Girl, well, you know, I heard.
Right.
He has 75 white babies.
Girl, I got some hot tea to pull. Did you hear about?
And then like, so Letty's making the rounds again, and Tick comes into the house from the porch to get something to drink, and he runs into Tree again.
Oh, that's and right. That's his name. I could not remember his name.
Yeah, he runs into Tree again, and Tree is like, you know, teasing him, trying to be buddy-buddy, and Atticus is still not about it.
No, because Tree is like, oh, me and Letty used to tussle back in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it was like, oh my god, and I laughed so hard, because I got a flashback to Insecure when Tree was asking Atticus, who's just like, are you and Letty, like, you know, together? And Tree's just like, no.
Yeah.
Like, do you belong? Like, is she yours? He was like, no, Letty's not mine. Like, whatever. And he was like, 'cause I heard you were staying here rip free. Uh-huh. And I got a flashback to Insecure season 2. When Issa had to move in with Daniel and Kelly was like going up for finances. And she's like, "Do you pay rent?" Kelly asking Issa, and Issa's like, "No." And Issa and Kelly just goes, "You concubine!" And for some reason, that's the first thing that came into my head.
Oh my goodness. Just like,
this man just asked Atticus if he was laying pipe for room and board.
but
I mean, it's a valid question. Do what you got to do to have a roof over your head.
And I'm sure whoever was talking about it, you know, insinuated as much.
Yeah.
But actually, before this, we see Hippolyta in the kitchen because she's brought some food for the party.
Yes.
And she's, you know, she's still very sad. She carries this grief with her.
Yeah.
Even though she's, you know, hugging and smiling at Letty. And, you know, Letty's just asking her, does he remind her of George? And, you know, it kind of feels like, are we going to get to the George was his father? Or, like, you know.
Yeah. I was like, oh, where's this going? Oh, this is leading.
Right. And then we see Diana, or Dee, and her friends are in the basement or the attic. I'm not sure exactly. But they're playing with a Ouija board. And I'm just like.
And I was just like, why are you playing with a Ouija board? Nothing good comes from playing with a Ouija board.
Where did you get it?
Where did you get it?
And who told you this was a good idea?
What black person have led y'all astray? Find them.
This is a mystery that has not been solved by the end of the episode, and I need to know.
Who gave these children a Ouija board?
And told them, hey, go play with this.
What?
Mm-mm.
No.
I'm convinced it was in the house somewhere and they just found it.
100%.
Because this is not an activity for black children. We don't need this.
We don't do this. We don't do this.
So it's like her and I think like four other kids, maybe. And
three other kids.
Three other kids.
Four of them.
Okay. Yeah. So the first one, somebody says, "Hey Bobo, why don't you ask a question?" And Bobo was the nickname of Emmett Till. And if you
I did
look,
not know that.
I know. I didn't know that either. But if you look at what he's dressed in, and that he's a little older than the other kids who are there.
Yeah.
He's dressed in this white shirt and this black and white striped tie with a little tie pin that is exactly a replica of what Emmett Till is wearing in this very famous photo of him.
Yeah.
And he asks of the Ouija board, will he have a good time on his trip? Because in the summer of 1955, Emmett Till traveled to Mississippi to visit his cousins down south, where he was brutally murdered for literally no reason. This white woman lied on him.
Lied. When I say lied, we say lied, we mean lied.
Yeah. Literally no reason. And they kidnapped this boy, beat him unrecognizably, tied him to a fan, and dumped him in the river. You know, when they finally found him, they were only able to identify him because he had this ring that his mother had given him before he left for the trip.
Yeah.
And she had an open casket funeral because she wanted everyone to see what they had done to her boy.
Yeah.
And his brutal murder and that picture really inspired many people in the civil rights, you know, kind of area, social area, to step up their efforts.
Yeah.
You know.
Because it's like, this is what this looks like. This is what
brutality
against black bodies looks like.
Right. Rosa Parks, for one, talked about being inspired by his case. So, but again, the board says no, he will not have a good trip.
Have a good time. Because
it's just like, oh.
Right? And I didn't notice that at first, because, like, you know, the first watching of it, you're watching it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until somebody was just like, yeah, that kid who asked the question, the first question, that's supposed to be Emmett Till. I was like, nope. And that nope, and I don't believe it. And nope is like, nope, not no.
Yeah. And when I heard that too, but I was thinking of a different actor in the scene. So I was like, what do you mean he's too young? And when I went back and looked at it again, I was like, oh, nope, he would be the right age. And then they also talk to another one of their friends. They call him Gil, as in Gil Scott Heron, because Gil Scott Heron is from Chicago.
Chicago. Yes. Who and wrote also just a Riders side on the note, Moon, sorry.
And yes. was the title of episode 2.
Yeah. And just another aside about Emmett Till. His killers were found, arrested, and prosecuted, and found not guilty. Mm-hmm. And then were paid for their story, I think, either by Life or Time magazine.
$4,000.
Yep.
And in which they admitted to everything.
Because admitted to everything.
Again. Yeah.
Could never be tried again because double jeopardy. And yeah.
Got to live out their whole entire lives.
The whole entire lives. And this 14-year-old baby, he looked like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very boy full died.
Face, you know.
Full face. Like, didn't even, like, this baby, like, had to die because a white woman lied. Just straight out lied.
Yep.
Like, and before she died, had to get this off her chest. I was like, bitch, die. Like, you could actually, you actually could have just gone away. We didn't need this.
Yeah.
Like, you could have just, you know, disappeared into the ether. But,
and
all right.
There's so much, you know, destruction of black life and property and wealth that has been done about a lie. Like, the Tulsa race massacre was a lie. Based
was
on
a lie. Yeah.
You know, but there's lots of little things like that. But they keep going with the Ouija board, and it spells out George is dead. And so, of course...
But I was, like, watching something, and somebody said it spelled out George is not dead.
No, it's George is dead.
Yeah, I was like, I thought it was George is dead.
And, of course, this freaks Diana out, and she runs off.
Yeah.
And,
she's like, y'all are assholes. I was like,
yeah.
It's not them, girl. This house is legit haunted.
Yeah, but, you know, I can understand her not being able to believe that, you know.
Yeah.
But also, your friends would never do that to you. Like,
yeah, your friends would not do that to you.
Yeah.
They know you were literally like a month from your dad,
right.
your dad's funeral. They would not do that to you.
Yeah. But Hippolyta is looking for Diana, and she's drawn towards this room. So she's looking up in the attic looking for Diana, and this room
mm-hmm.
behind her, the door slowly opens, and she's just kind of drawn to it. And she goes inside, and there's like this golden sculpture of some sort of solar system that isn't ours.
Yeah.
And right before she touches it, you know, we go to the next scene. And it kind of reminded me of the show on Netflix, The House on Haunted Hill, where they have this
mm-hmm.
red room. And inside the room is, it can be anything that that person needs at that time. And
yeah.
they don't even realize this is all the same room, right?
Yeah.
And the house is just kind of feeding off their energy while they're in this room. But it's a really great, very spooky show. Do not watch it at 3 a.m. like I did. but then we go to the next scene where Ruby is singing, "Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby."
You ain't my baby.
And
that's juxtaposed with, you know, Tree asking Atticus, you know, "Is he concubining?" Which is still going to take the
And Letty's dancing with this dude.
And Letty is dancing. Do you hear me?
Making love on the dance floor.
100%. Like, she is moving in that dress, and, like, the dude she's dancing with is just, like, giving her the look of, like, "I will drink your dirty bathwater."
Right.
And Tree is just like, "Are you and Letty together?" to Atticus, and Atticus is like, "No, we're not." And he's just like, "I mean, you know, if you feel a way, you better tell her."
Right.
Because does she know? Because he can see that, like, Atticus is looking at her. Like, something, and him and Letty make eye contact. Like, they're damn near eye fucking.
Yeah.
While she's dancing with this dude.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
And so Letty exits and goes to the bathroom to, like, you know,
cool
wash
off.
Her face
right.
and cool off and stuff like that. Because she's dancing and it's hot, and the house, temperature wise, is still hot.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to the bathroom, and she's, like, washing her face with water. And we see behind her a ghost
mm-hmm.
With an eye missing and something through, like...
A piece of metal.
His skull. Yeah, a piece of metal through his skull. And there's a noise, and she looks up, and the ghost isn't there. She looks over, and it's Atticus in the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, shit.
I was like, oh, they're finally going to talk. You know, whatever. He's going to tell
I
her how
that
he
at
feels.
All. I was like, oh, they about to fuck.
Yeah.
And, I was like, yeah. Oh, they're about to do some stuff.
I was like, okay.
And then, like, and they kiss and they get down. And so, me being the goofy bitch that I am, I was just like, if that ghost is still there, how awkward
right?
is that?
Right.
And the ghost is just like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I was just trying to scare some people, but y'all.
I'll go haunt over here.
I will turn away. I was just, oh, y'all still, okay. That's, oh, you know what? I can go back
this
downstairs.
This is not the moment. I am so sorry.
I am so sorry.
My timing is awful.
I thought I was doing something else. Y'all had other plans, so I'm just going to remove myself.
Right. I'm just going to disappear into this wall and check out later.
I'll check it. We could commence this haunting later.
Right. And the thing is, it's like, it's really, it's just kind of rough.
It's super rough.
Yeah.
Still hot, though? still like, super
hot. It really kind of took me by surprise.
Yeah. Like, I was just like, oh, so they're just, oh, okay.
Yeah. And it doesn't last for all that long. And people were calling him TikTok.
Oh no!
Yes.
But okay.
But that's it's TV. It never lasts that long.
Yeah.
TV, so.
One is TV. Two, like the shortness of it didn't surprise me because like the aggressiveness of it from both of them.
Yeah.
Which is like them kissing, her just getting up on the sink, going for his belt buckle. Mm-hmm. And they just start, that is like, that is tension release.
Mm-hmm.
That is literally like, from what I saw, that was like, this has been building since Artem.
Mm-hmm.
Like the shit we went through and everything, and we can't express it.
Mm-hmm.
Our grief, our anger, or our disbelief.
Very
so
emotional
it manifested,
punch.
100%. And like, so it manifested in this way.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you're the only other person other than my father and other than my dead uncle who knows what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the only person that I can, for lack of a better, for uncouthness, can stick my dick in.
Don't know.
To just shake some of this off.
Yeah. For me, though, personally, it didn't work for me. I didn't like it. I wanted something a little bit more romantic and slow for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But maybe that'll be, you know, something.
I think that'll be later. Right. This was very much a trauma bonding act of sexual tension release.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's quick, it's fast, it's rough, it's hard. It's everything that we've been through, and also I am sexually attracted to you, has just come to a head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, and this is how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So sorry, I just put on my psychology hat.
Bring it to the table.
This happens to me every once in a while. I am so sorry.
Oh, that's what we're here for.
But yeah. So they like they have this moment, and the look on Tick's face, like you know, after he finishes, is just like contentment and like. Joy, but not joy in terms of just like, oh, I've just had sex, but joy and just like, oh, did Letty, like, at least that's what I got from
like,
it.
Oh, we have this connection.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, and I was just thinking, oh, please don't let her get pregnant. Because they did not have a condom. Yeah. And condoms existed in the 50s.
They
don't
did.
Let people tell you that they did not.
Oh, yeah. They
condoms
did.
Have existed since the 1910s, 1920s. Like, condoms have existed for a very long time, but anyway, I was like, please don't let Letty get pregnant.
She might,
please.
We might have another Braithwaite baby on the way.
Ooh, if that's the way this season ends, I'm gonna be so mad. I'm gonna be so mad. But anyway, so like they're straightening themselves up, and Tick pulls away and puts his hand between them, and there's blood.
Mm-hmm.
And Letty's just like, oh, I'm so sorry. Didn't realize, you know, it was my monthly. And Tick is just like, it's fine, it's cool.
Yeah, and it's such a 1950s thing to say, my monthly, you know?
Right.
But Tick isn't worried at all. He's not grossed out, or he's very mature.
Yeah. And he's just like, it's okay. Like, whatever. But then, like, the mood kind of shifts because now they're back to being awkward again.
Yeah. They're like, oh, now what? You know?
Right?
And as quickly as they got together, they separate just as quickly. And she's like, well, I'll see you downstairs.
And he's like, yeah, sure. Like, your shirt is open. Again with the titty meats. Like, I was just watching this movie. Like, super side note, I'll probably cut this out. But I was watching this movie from, like, 1979, this made-for-TV movie called Sooner or Later. And it was, like, this teen idol of the time named Rex Smith. And I swear to God, Maria, this man is just sitting there with his shirt open down to his navel, titty meats out. I'm like, sir, I'm here for a guitar lesson. Why do I see your chesticles? Like, why is this necessary?
What chords are these?
Right? So I've got a lot of man titty meat happening in my life in the past week. But anyway, I'll probably cut that out. But anyway.
he leaves the bathroom, and then Letty's just kind of crying.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh no. Like, I was just like, no. Don't. Yeah. I mean, I understand why she's crying, because it's an emotional release. And like, something major just happened.
Right. I can't believe this happened just right now.
Like, yeah. Like, this is a lot to process. And with Tick and all the, and his uncle just died, and yeah, fucking wizards exist. And, like, and I was dead. Like, all of this stuff. Like, it's so much at once. But she goes back downstairs, and like, she's just like, you know, her mood is visibly changed, as you would expect it to. And, like, she's sitting by Ruby, who's playing cards with, like, a whole table full of dudes. And they're talking, and they're just like, do you think that they're keeping you out of the, whatever department store?
Marshall Fields,
because...
Very famous department store in Chicago.
Yeah. Okay. You think they're keeping you out because you're black? And she's like, yeah. And I'd be the hardest working sales girl they had.
And she says, like, you know, if more color folks thought like me, the race would be a lot further along. Which is just like, ugh, Ruby.
Don't be that. I was like, Ruby, don't, no respectability, please.
I am not my ancestors kind of bullshit. Like, yeah. Not.
It's like, I mean, but I understand it more in this time period than I do in subsequent time periods.
I don't, because in this time period, you know, maybe more so in other places, I don't know exactly. You know, we have segregation everywhere. Yeah. But within those segregated communities, those black communities, you have successful businesses.
Yeah.
Right? We have HBCUs and all that stuff. So I don't really understand why you're saying this. Like, black people have been working and being able to make a name for themselves and get educated and all that kind of stuff that she deems as important.
Yeah. Right?
So for her to sit up and say this, like, well, if more people just thought like me.
It's like, nah.
It's like, girl, it is not about who you are as a person or what your education is or even how hard you work. It's just that you're black and that's it.
Yeah, and they don't want you there because you're black. It's like, Ruby, you're not dumb.
Right.
Like, you know this.
Right. And almost as if to answer her with, like, girl, you thought. Girl, you thought there is a burning cross out on Letty's lawn. Right?
Yeah.
That burning cross doesn't know that Ruby is a hard worker and wants to be from Marshall Fields. That burning cross don't care.
Yeah, the burning cross don't care. The burning cross is just like, bitch, I'm a cross, burn on your fucking lawn.
Right.
And you see,
she's black
and, like,
and you need to leave.
Yeah. And so you see Letty go to the window, and then Hippolyta asking where the kids are.
And does she ever find the kids? Because this is the second time she's been looking for these kids, and we never see that she finds them.
Those kids.
Where are these children?
Where are the damn kids?
He spent this whole party looking for these kids.
But then you see Letty just fucking break.
Yeah.
She has had enough. She is a woman on the edge. She just had sex in her bathroom with her friend. She don't know what that means. And now
here
come...
The house is haunted.
This house is haunted. And here come these whiteys burning a cross on her lawn.
Because the horns weren't enough.
And she has had it. So she walks outside with a baseball bat. And
as she's walking out, we hear Take It Back by Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yes.
When she says, everything the devil stole from me, I'm going to take it back.
And so we have Tick and some of the other men at the party. Like, Tick is like, get the shotguns from the corner. And they just back her up. They're just her backup. And they're just like, you go over there, you go over there. And they don't stop her. They don't try to reason with her. They're just like, no, let her do this.
And she, and I was like, can I recall any other scene, like anywhere, where this sort of similar thing happens? Where this black woman is taking this action and is being supported by these black men, you know?
Yeah, who are not trying to stop her, who are not saying, that woman's crazy. Right. They're just like, no, she has right to lose her mind right now. And they just let her. And then Letty starts to take a bat to all three of these cars.
Mm-hmm. She has her lemonade moment while all the white neighbors look on.
100%. And, like, the strap of her dress falls down. She pulls that bitch up and keeps swinging.
Breaks and all then, the windows. Breaks the bricks off the horns. Breaks off a mirror for, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Like, she's just like, fuck all of this. Mm-hmm. Fuck all of you. And then you see Ruby get in a car, like, the cops are coming, Ruby gets in a car, drives down the driveway, they put the baseball bat and the guns in the trunk of the car, and Ruby drives off. Because they know.
They all get on their knees with their hands up.
Hands up. And then somebody gives Letty a jacket, so she's covered. And I was like,
community, yes!
Right? They were just like, you take these weapons, because we're also trying to get a weapons charge.
Right.
You drive these up yonder.
I mean, they're not
going to
get a weapons charge, that's just in the bed.
Yeah. So it's like
holding these shotguns.
Right? So it's like so you take these weapons up yonder. Like
right.
And so cut to Letty being in the back of a police van. These white people burned a cross on her lawn. But somehow
she's made several complaints throughout.
Several complaints.
This is like day 9. She's made
day
21
9.
Complaints.
21 complaints, but somehow she gets arrested. Right. And she's in the back of a van. With this racist police officer. And I was just like, please don't let Letty get sexually assaulted. Please. I am begging you.
I was afraid of that too.
Yeah. I was just like, no, he's just throwing racist epithets at her. That I can deal with.
Right.
Like, call me a porch monkey. Call me a moon cricket. You know.
A moon cricket. Lord.
Call me all these things. Like, I can handle that. Like, my skin is tougher. Like, you know.
Right.
And so, like, he's looking at her jacket, her police file, and he's like, we've gotten a lot of complaints about you. And she was just like, when you get all the 21 complaints that I've made, you're just like, he asks his partners, he's like, have you gotten these reports? And they're just like, not that we can speak of. I was like, oh, fuck y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the police officer starts interrogating her, and it's just like, who told you to buy the Winthrop house?
Yeah. Who gave you the money?
Who gave you the money? Yeah. How'd you get this house? And Letty's just like, okay, that's weird. Why are you interrogating me about this house?
Right.
Of all the shit that just happened. Why
you
want to
know
house?
About my real estate transactions?
okay, sir. And so the cop proceeds to tell her that in that house there were the bodies of 8 black people.
Body parts
of 8 black people in the basement. Mm-hmm. And Letty's not saying anything. She's not confirming or denying like how she came about to get this house. Mm-hmm. And then they start to swerve the truck, the police van, and Letty, and it's metal, so Letty is getting tossed about in this van.
Hitting the walls and the floor.
Yeah.
And it just kind of reminded me of the whole Freddie Gray situation.
Yeah. Because she could have easily died. Like, if she hit something wrong, she could have easily died. And so, you know, the cop is telling her, just like, you're there, but you're not going to stay there long.
Right, you're not going to last long in that house.
You're not going to last long in that house. And so it's like, okay. So that's not fucking ominous.
Right.
Yeah. That's not ominous. Thanks, racist cop. And then we get
back to the house, and Letty has turned the cellar into the dark room, as Tick suggested.
Yes.
She's looking at her photos that she's taken since she got there, and she notices these strange lines on her photos, and it kind of looks like cracks in glass.
Yeah, like scratches. Yeah,
scratches, cracks in glass. They're a little, they kind of illuminate when the light is off. And she puts them all together like she's solving a puzzle, and it comes to in the shape of a face.
Yeah.
And the face rises up from the photos and yells at her to get out of my house. And she's thrown backwards onto the stairs and everything. And she finally gets upstairs, and the boarders are moving out because they're scared of the white terrorism and how Letty may have taken it up a notch when she destroyed those cars.
Yeah.
And Ruby's trying to get them to stay, but they're not staying.
They're like, nope, we're not staying. Nope.
Yeah. And it's not even about, like, being haunted. It's the white folks, right?
Yeah.
So, but they're not staying. So, Letty is saying, well, it'll be all right, you know, I still have some money from Mother's inheritance. And Ruby was like, what?
Skirt? Oh, 22. Like, you know. What do you mean you still have money left over from Mom's inheritance? Mom didn't have any money.
Right. And it's like, y'all were not even close. You never came to her funeral.
You don't even use her last name.
You don't use her last name. Like, you had this money this whole time. You didn't tell us about it. You lied about it. You could have at least split it with us. You know, her and Marvin. And you didn't do that either.
Yeah.
So all this, you know, all these people you knew there were artist friends of yours. You know, everything about this is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I thought we were going to be sisters and work on that. But, like, you're still on your selfish bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's and it's like you're just like Mom.
Yeah, it's like, actually, she's like, you're worse than Mom, because Mom did pretend to be anything other than selfish. And so
it's so painful to me.
Right? And she was just like, all this time I was lending you money, I just thought you were a fuck up, but turns out you're just fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I understand what Ruby is saying. But at the same time, it's also just like, but your mom was neglectful and she would leave Letty alone. And, like, the person that Letty is now is a direct result of, like, the stuff that their mother did.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can't ignore that.
I mean, that's true, but Letty is saying one thing and doing another.
100%.
Secrets, you know, not being transparent.
Yeah. You know? It's like, girl, you could have told him about the money.
Right. If she really wants this close relationship between her and Ruby, she has to act like it.
Yeah.
You know, instead of doing what she's doing, which just leaves Ruby feeling betrayed.
Yeah. And so Ruby leaves, and she's just like, you know, if you were half the sister you wanted to be, like, you would have been honest. You would have been honest. And you weren't being honest, so bye.
No. I mean, even in the first scene with them together when they're looking at the house, Ruby's talking about... Letty brings up that Ruby sent her money to fix her camera. And Ruby was like, I thought that was for the light bill.
She was like, I told you it was for the light bill. It's like, oh, right. Letty.
Right, exactly.
It's like, girl. But, and then we cut to Hippolyta, Montrose, sitting on the curb outside of the Travel Books headquarters and George's garage.
Yeah.
And Hippolyta, you know, is coming back from grocery shopping, and she was like, oh, Montrose, what are you doing here? And he's just like, oh, I thought I'd come and, like, you know, throw some balls around with Dee. You know, I heard she likes that. And she's like, okay. And he gets her groceries and he brings them in for her. And, you know, he sets them down. He accidentally spills some. He picks them up and, you know, and he's like, oh, it's a copy of Dracula. Because mm-hmm. George's favorite book is Dracula. He's like, oh, this is George's favorite. And Hippolyta bought another copy because she had ripped all the pages out of George's copy. But she can't tell Montrose that. So she's just like, oh, I spilled coffee on George's copy. And so they're talking and stuff like that. And she was just like, I know you told me what happened with George, and how you and Atticus took care of that vile police officer, but something doesn't sit right with me. Like, there's something else that you're not telling me about my husband's death. And I want to know. I need to know. And Montrose cannot tell her.
And while she's sitting there, there's this kind of skip jump in time.
Yeah.
Outside the window where things speed up for just a moment.
Yeah. I was just like, what the hell was that?
What was that? Right.
What was that? God damn it, show.
Right. Mantra refuses to tell her anything.
Yeah. He can't. He can't do it.
Yeah. And the next scene, we have Letty, like, at a bar. She's got all these papers surrounding her. And she's trying to figure out her haunted house. And Tick finds her, you know, asks her what she's doing. And she says she found out that the house used to belong to a doctor called, a scientist called Epstein. Even though they call it the Winthrop House. They couldn't find anything in the papers that said it was a Winthrop House. But this scientist owned the house and was fired for conducting human experiments, right?
Yeah.
And he was only fired. He wasn't arrested or, like, tried.
He was just fired.
Right. And the police captain, who was the one who was talking to Letty in the previous scene, knew Epstein. She believes that the police captain was providing him with black people from the South Side for his test subjects.
Yeah.
And these eight victims of Epstein, their faces have been showing up in the photographs that she's been taking.
Yeah, it's like it almost looks like a double exposure, but not really.
Right. And so she's found, like, the articles for these people, you know, who were surgically or medically experimented on. And it some of these names actually refer to real people who went sort of the same thing. So there was a doctor named Marion Sims, and he's often called the father of modern gynecology.
Yes.
And he operated on enslaved women without anesthesia.
Yep.
When he began his practice, he had no formal training in gynecology, and he operated on about 12 women, but we only know the name of three, and that's Anarka, Betsy, and Lucy. And so some of the people who are named as the ones who were missing share those same names.
Yeah.
So looking up about this, because I heard about this guy before, but I was just doing some more information, and Anarka, for one, had 30 surgeries without Lucy nearly died from sepsis because he left a sponge in her urethra. Right. After he finally figured out how to be successful with this treatment of fistulas, he sought out white women to perform this on, but they couldn't endure the pain. And
so that further
there was another
the myth that black people have a higher pain tolerance.
Right. And there is this whole back and forth of whether these women consented to these surgeries and blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
no,
they're enslaved
women
who have been, you know, given over to this doctor by their masters or even bought outright by him.
Yep.
Even if they say yes, or even if they say no, it doesn't really matter.
It does not matter.
A slave cannot consent.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the whole take it back to a bygone era when Scandal was on air. And Olivia and Fitz and their relationship, and how did all these, like, hotep, ashy dick motherfuckers on Twitter who kept calling her a Negro bedwench. And it was just like, no.
Right.
You can't be a bed. I cannot be a bed. A bedwench implies that I have decided to sleep with you, that I'm here of my own accord and my own desire and my own volition. Slaves did not have that option.
Right.
There is no consent in enslavement. You're going to do to me what you want to do to me.
Right.
Whether I want it or not. And so these women, like, they could have screamed, said no, and, like, it wouldn't have mattered. Their autonomy and their humanity did not matter.
No, I mean, there were reports that he would have other enslaved people hold them down. It got to the point where he burned through, like, all of his apprentices and had to teach these women to assist in his surgeries on them. And, I mean, these fistulas they were experiencing are very damaging, right?
Yeah.
So it would be after you had a child and suddenly you're incontinent because your urine is leaking through your vagina, or your fecal matter is leaking through your vagina. So it's a very...
It's very serious.
Stigmatizing situation.
Yeah.
So, yes, of course, they would like for this to end. But also, they would probably like to not have to go through surgeries without anesthesia at the same time.
Yeah.
Not be, you know, experimented on. And you can read more about this in this, because there's a history of white people experimenting on black people.
Yeah.
And other people of color as well.
Yeah.
You can look into the book Medical Apartheid, goes over that a lot.
Yeah.
Sims also attempted to treat this condition where it was kind of like babies were being born with tetanus.
Mm-hmm.
And it could, you know, result in deficiencies, abnormalities, or maybe even death. And we know now that it's due to unsanitary conditions and nutritional deficiencies, right?
Yeah.
Which, wow, you're enslaved. Not surprised.
Yeah, not surprised that your baby isn't getting all the nutrients because you are not getting all the nutrients.
Right. But he blamed what he would do is he would use a shoemaker's awl to pry the skull bones of the enslaved infants into alignment. And it resulted in a 100% fatality rate.
Yes!
And, yeah. He blamed this fatality rate on the sloth and ignorance of their mothers and black midwives.
No!
Yes.
So. Enslaved women were not getting proper nutrients and being worked to the bone even while pregnant. And we're not getting the proper food or proper calorie intake probably while being pregnant. And also, baby skulls are soft. That's how
I'm sorry, but these women were clearly dirty, lazy, and stupid.
Oh, excuse me.
Right.
Like,
so, yes, if you hear these names and you kind of feel like, oh, I think that reminds me of something, it's J. Marion Sims. They actually had a statue dedicated to him in New York, which they have recently removed.
Yeah, because there were protests and, like, and, you know, performance art level protest of, like, black women showing up with, like, stained hospital gowns.
Because he got rich off of this.
Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. Yeah.
And those women were still enslaved.
Yeah. And, like...
We only know three of their names.
Yeah. And even in modern history, with indigenous women who were... Their babies were held captive by the doctors in the hospitals unless they agreed to get sterilized.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we will give you your baby. I think this was in Canada. We will give you your baby if you agree to be sterilized and have no more children.
Oh, yeah. Sterilizations, forced sterilizations, was a very common practice when it came to women of color and black women.
Yeah.
If in this time period as well, or if they just felt like you were too promiscuous, or if they felt like you had mental deficiencies that shouldn't be passed on, they would just sterilize you and lie about it.
And lie about it. Like, I have a friend who's on the spectrum. She has Asperger's. And she was just, like, she speaks about autism and sexuality and stuff like that. She was like, there was a time where I would have been locked away, and I would have been sterilized against my will, because I had a condition that people did not understand. And I would have been punished for having this condition that people did not understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so, people of color and black people live in a world where people do not seek to understand us, so they seek to correct us, where we do not need to be corrected.
We are
not wrong, and like,
we are just as human.
Yeah, we're just humans. We're just a variant of human. Wow, groundbreaking.
So Tick suggests that Letty move out of the house.
Yeah.
But Letty is not going to let it go. She's not going to leave these eight souls trapped in there with their killer.
Yeah. Because that's the doctor is in the house. Dr. Hiram is in the house. And Epstein is in the house. Well, his first name is Hiram. Hiram Epstein, yeah. Dr. Epstein is in the house. And because these people died there, their souls are in the house. And I wonder how Epstein died.
I don't know.
Because if he's also trapped in that house, which means he was also killed in that house.
Possibly.
And yeah, so Letty's just like, I can't leave them in that house. Because they are tormented. Because their tormentor is bound to them because of this house.
Right.
And she also reveals to Tick that, you know, them having sex in the bathroom was her first time. And Tick, looking at these pictures, like, first time what? He's just right. Like, he's just like, oh, damn. And she's just like, yeah. I don't regret it. And she was just like, you know, I did it. I needed it. I did it because I. And she was just like, I did it because I needed to feel something. It was like, you know, we haven't talked about anything that happened in Artem. And she was like, I died.
She's like, I know Uncle George died, but I died
too. Yeah, Uncle George died, but I died too. And she was like, and truth be told, ever since I came back, I felt like a ghost. Like, I don't feel connected to everything that's going on. Like, I thought the world was one way. Turns out it's another. And I have to reckon with that. I have to reconcile that. And, and yeah. And so, to go back to my earlier point, I think the ghosts see that Letty's soul was interrupted via her death and her resurrection. Mm-hmm.
She seems to be the only one being haunted as far as we
can. Yeah, she seems to be the only person who the ghosts are purposely reaching out to and trying to be seen and trying to make themselves seen and known to her. Nobody else seems to be getting bothered but Letty. So Letty may have a sixth sense.
Possibly.
She may have been Haley Joel Osment before Haley Joel Osment was Haley Joel Osment.
Oh my goodness.
And so...
But...
Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, cut to them back at the house, and they have a Haitian priestess with them with a goat. And again, white people looking out the window, not minding their own business.
I know they must be wondering, what the hell is going
on? I mean,
on?
I would be too. I'd be like, what the hell are these Negroes doing with this fucking goat? Which is fair. Because you just don't randomly bring a goat into a suburban area. But, so, like, and Atticus is just like, where did you find her? And Letty is just like, I mean, my mother wasn't into, you know, religion or anything like that. But, you know, she believed in doing her research.
Right, because apparently she was a hustler.
Yeah, she was a hustler.
So, she was probably pretending to be, like, a voodoo priestess or whatever. And that's how she knew this lady, so she could research for her hustling
life. Yeah. So, you know, this woman has this goat, and, you know, she kills the goat. And I wrote, RIP goat, your death will not be in vain.
Right, well, she's sacrificing the goat.
To
the spirits.
And, you know, and the blood of the goat is a protection. So she marks her head, she marks Letty's head, and she marks Atticus's head. And Atticus gives Letty this look of, what the hell did you get us into?
Right, he's like, but I'm rolling with it.
And the priestess is just like, you know, we gotta protect ourselves and protect the house while we try and purge the house. So they go downstairs, and she's just like, oh, I feel a presence. She's like, take my hand, and let's, like, you know, let's try and purge this house. And then cut to the white people breaking into this house.
Cannot leave them alone.
Cannot. If you would just mind your business, none of this would have ended for you the way it ended for you.
No.
So, in another review of Lovecraft Country, there's this guy who's reviewing it, and he's Haitian, and he breaks it down, that she is doing essentially Haitian, like, you know, spirit work.
Right, she's telling the spirits to leave the house.
She's telling the harmful spirits to leave the house. And what he points out is that when all the shit starts to go down with the white dudes, the spirits come out to harm them because they see them as harmful. The spirits of the house see the white dudes who have broken into the house as harmful.
And that channel on YouTube is called The Binge Zone.
Yeah, Binge Zone, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to check out, I was like, oh, this is so helpful, because I was wondering, like,
yeah, I was trying to figure out the connection. Yeah, so that also been the show notes.
Right, one of my habits after the show is to, I watch, like, a lot of reviews on YouTube.
Yeah.
I just want to see what people are saying, what they're catching, what they're not catching, all that kind of stuff. And nobody could really understand what was happening with the priestess.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, she's a witch. No.
I was like, she's not a witch. She's a priestess, obviously, moving on. Right.
They're like, they didn't understand what was going on with the goat necessarily, all this stuff. But I found it also really interesting that Letty is, you know, in the beginning in church, just kind of not able to feel it.
Yeah.
It just kind of doesn't hit her. But when it comes to trying to free these eight souls,
she finds it. She, yeah,
right. She finds black religion, basically.
Yeah, she finds that vigor and that oomph that she was missing in the Christian church scene, in the beginning of the episode, and those people feeling the spirit and, like, you know, being moved. And here Letty is in this haunted house, literally feeling the spirit and being moved
and trying to get them to move. Right.
And
but like you were saying, these three white dudes break into the house and they're looking to harm people.
Yeah,
they have bats and they're looking to harm people.
Yeah,
and two of them are drawn to the same room that Hippolyta was drawn to.
Yeah,
and they go in and the door closes and locks behind them. And
then we hear a baby cooing, and I'm just like, what?
We hear a baby cooing. It's creepy. Like, what?
Where the fuck did a baby come from? Is it gonna be a dead baby?
Not the baby. Right.
It's going to be a train spotting situation.
And the radiators start, you know, going off really.
Like, in their face, like, burning their face.
Right. They're getting burned by the steam from the radiator as we hear the baby laughing.
Yeah.
At them being steamed by the radiator.
And, like, we get an image of, like, this baby head on this adult body, like, moving towards them. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the hell? It was
equal parts terrifying and funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, oh, this is, I don't want to laugh, but I feel compelled to laugh.
It's just such a strange sight.
It's such a strange sight.
And then also the baby is laughing.
So it's just like, you're right, baby. This is funny. kill these people. That's funny, baby.
The third guy goes to look in the elevator shaft, and he's beheaded by the elevator.
That was coming a clean, down. Swift cut.
Whew. And the show doesn't, like, rely on gore and blood.
Yeah.
But when it's there, it is there.
Yeah. And they use it effectively.
They use it very effectively.
They use it very effectively.
Not the whole flavor. And then we also see, if you just look closely, as the elevator comes down and, like, the door's about to open, there's a ghost on the elevator.
Yeah. There's a ghost on the elevator. It's just like, a ghost did this. Because when they're in the basement... Sorry, go ahead.
Because it kind of reminded me again of A House on Haunted Hill. Mm. Like, throughout that entire show, there are ghosts in almost every scene.
Okay. They're
just kind of off-center or way in the back. Like, some of them you're not going to see. But if you look it up on YouTube, like, hidden ghosts...
Yeah.
You'll see, like, all these other things that you may have missed.
Okay.
Like, one of the things that got me was there's one scene where they have like these statues in the hallway, like these, mm-hmm. you know, Grecian statues, And they go into this room. That scene happens. They come out, and the statue's head has changed. It's now
That's
looking to the
creepy.
right, when it was straight ahead before. And I was like,
Yeah.
ooh, but
But,
yeah.
it's like, it's subtle things like, that Lovecraft Country is doing very well. Because, like, until, because my first, watching, I just watched it, you know, as absorbing this episode. And then, because Maria and I text back and forth when both of us watched the show. And she was like, there was a ghost in the elevator. I was like, say what?
Yes.
She's like, there's a ghost in the elevator. And so on my rewatch, I was like, oh shit, there's a
Yeah,
ghost in the
I definitely watch at least twice because the first time I'm just kind of like just in the story, you know, I'm
Yeah.
just trying to keep up with what's going on. And I definitely miss things when and that I
Yeah.
pick up on the second viewing. That
And
was
as
one of
the
those
binge,
things.
yeah. And as the binge zone in his video points out that the words that they're saying when they're trying to, like, you know, purge the house is, you know, trying to cast away evil spirits. And so that's why the ghosts go after the white dudes, because they see them as harmful and as evil. So they're just like, oh, so you want us to kill these whiteys? That's fine. We can do that real
Right.
quick. We can do that with the swiftness, actually.
Right. We got this.
We got this. And so at that point, I'm just like, oh, the ghosts don't want to hurt Letty, because if they wanted to, they would have hurt her by now. Like, if they wanted to harm her, they would have done it by now.
And I was listening to the official HBO podcast about the show, which features one of the writers of the show. And they were talking about ancestors and ghost stories and things like that.
Yeah.
And Daniel Halsey Older was also on this episode. He writes a lot about ghosts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they were saying, you know, so many ghost stories about being afraid of these ghosts, right? Being afraid of
Yeah.
the ghosts will come back to harm you, all this stuff. When you have so many like religions that are particular to Black people of color, where talking to your ancestors is, or you know, having them around is not harmful. They're here to help you. They're here to support
Yeah.
you. Like there's nothing to be afraid of, right?
Yeah.
Because these are the people who loved you and want to come through for you.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so different from the stories that we get in like this Western
Yeah.
American context of being afraid of these ghosts. And the one of the ideas they were talking about is perhaps it's because they're kind of afraid of their past, right?
Yeah.
Because either you were doing fucked up things to people, or fucked up things were happening to you by these people.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just thought that was a super interesting idea because, again, like you were saying throughout this episode, we see the ghosts, they're not trying to hurt her. They
Yeah.
never even actually try to scare her.
Yeah.
They try to warn her, right? And then
Yeah.
now they're helping
Now they're
someone.
helping. They
The,
disposed of,
yeah.
like, these people who came into your house trying to cause you harm.
Right. They only look scary because of what was done to them.
Done, yeah, what was done to them. But, like, they're, you know, because, like, again, if they wanted to hurt her, they could have hurt her. If the ghost who was in the bathroom wanted to hurt Letty, you could have done it right then. If the ghost in her bedroom who yanked the sheet off of her could wanted to harm her, she could have done it. Instead, she was just like, I need you to get up because your boiler is might explode.
Right.
You need to go downstairs. You need to find out what's happening. And, like, because I also think with, like, Letty's death and resurrection, they, like, for lack of a better term, a kindred spirit in her. Like, she's been to the other side. We are presents to her as much as she is a presence to us, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But they're in this basement and things are happening. Like
Think a
stuff
lot of
is
things happening.
shaking, stuff is swirling, there is a mysterious wind,
Yeah, the priestess is
and
like, it's working, it's working.
yeah. And I was like, just don't break, because I was like so concerned that somebody would like break the circle.
Yeah.
But they didn't. But it goes quiet and they're kind of like, are we done? Did it happen? But then the sprinklers come on and wash
Yeah.
away their protective marks.
I was like, oh shit. This
Yeah.
is the water. I was like, no, not the marks, no.
Yeah. And the priest is then possessed by the spirit of Epstein and begins to choke Tick.
Yeah.
And Tick is a big dude, but she's got him off the floor and he cannot get her off of him.
Yeah. That's the I mean, that's what them spirits do. They have supernatural strength, literally.
Yeah. And Letty is just like, she's, you know,
yeah,
she's
she's
like,
like,
what
I don't
am I
know what
gonna
to
do?
do. Yeah, I don't know what to do. Like, and then the priestess falls and Tick is possessed.
Right. With Epstein, he's telling her,
Yeah.
get out of my house,
How,
bitch.
bitch? It's like, get the fuck out of my house, bitch. And, interesting fact, because I've seen this effect, the effect that is done with, the effect that is done with Atticus's face, where it's like that double thing,
Double exposure.
yeah, double exposure effect. I've seen that effect before. It's a commonly used effect, but the first time I saw it was in the show Queer as Folk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and there's like in the first season, one of the characters, Ted, falls in love with somebody who is addicted to crystal meth. And so, how we know that he is high is that when he looks at Ted or another character, they do the same thing. They do like that super fast, like head thing. And the way that's achieved is that the actor has to say the line and move their head really fast. So when it's processed, it creates that effect. So it actually has to be something physically done by the actor to create that effect on film. And also probably amped up in post. But yeah. So
For
just
sure.
something I was like, oh, I've seen that effect before.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I was just like, I hope somebody had ibuprofen for him, because that looks like that would induce
Yeah.
a headache.
Like, how many times did he have to do that? Like, you
Right?
know.
I was just like, ooh, his neck and his head. But so like possessed Atticus is moving towards her. And like, you know, saying, get the fuck out of my house, bitch, get the fuck out of my house. And then Letty starts saying the names of all the victims of the doctor. It was like Philip, Anarka, Judy, like, help
Betsy.
me, Betsy, help me. Like,
And she
help
tells,
me.
she says, you know, you're not dead yet. We can still fight.
Yeah. Just like, I don't want to harm y'all. If this is y'all house, this is y'all house. But like, we could get him out of here.
Right. We need to free you, you know.
We need to free you, yeah.
Help me free you and free me as
Yeah.
well, right? And they begin to form a circle around her. Just like kind of the circle they had with the priestess and with Tick.
Yeah.
And they all start chanting the same chant to expel Epstein.
Yeah.
And as they kind of regain their power, their spirits start to heal.
Yeah, and their
And
bodies go back to what they were before.
they become whole before they had that horrible, you know, experimentation done to them. And
Yeah.
it was just so, oh, it made me feel like crying just to see them start to become whole again
Yeah,
and
because
to be
while they were,
healed
yeah.
and expelling this evil that had trapped
Yeah.
them there.
Because they were trapped with him, and as long as he existed with them, like they were never going to, you know, be healed spirits, and they were always going to be like this purgatory place because their spirits were angry, and rightfully so, and their spirits were connected to other spirits that were not their own. If you believe that the body carries different parts of the spirit, like what this doctor was doing was like cutting them up and attaching different parts of different people to different parts of other people.
I mean, just
And
absolute torture. I don't know like what he
yeah.
thought he was trying to achieve, but
Yeah. It's just like torture for the sake of torture.
it
Like,
seems so.
so the as we
Oh, while this
see
is going on, we have another gospel song that has the line, "Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down."
Yes. And as these spirits are healing, like we see, like these were, like, you know, these were beautiful people, and like, and
Mothers,
they,
sons,
and
athletes,
yeah,
daughters.
a pregnant woman, like, and they can finally let go of this evil man who put them in this house, and he cannot fight against them because they are more powerful than him. And so we see his spirit let go of Tick's body, and they're and like and the spirits and Letty are in a circle and they're chanting, and we see the spirit of this evil doctor just disintegrate, and he's gone. And you know, once he's gone, the ghosts leave Letty because they're whole, and they can move on. And you just see Journey. You see Letty standing there just like, that she's been in battle. Because she has.
She's been in battle. Spiritual battle. It's been physically draining, mentally draining.
Yeah. And, like, she's just
not
like,
just with the spirits, but also with these freaking neighbors.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, so now the house has been exorcised. Hopefully the priestess is okay. Hopefully Tick is okay.
Right. Like, well, we don't see the priestess after this, but we do see Tick.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure the priestess, just like, you know, she just got up, dusted her shoulders off. We're just like, I mean, I've been possessed before. Like, so right. This ain't nothing.
All the day's work.
All the day's work. So, you know, glad I could be of some help. And then we cut to...
Hip go priestess.
Yeah. And then we go to... Oh, sorry, I have so many notes about that one scene.
No problem. Like, so, the next scene we have is Letty's in the house. So new people are moving into the home.
Yeah.
A reporter is following her around, asking her questions, taking her photos. And she's asking about, you know, her inspiration for creating this housing for Black people, for creating affordable housing, right?
Yeah.
So all her artist friends have moved out, and so now she's created a space where people who can't afford homes by themselves can live there as boarders, on reduced fees and things like that. So she's not doing it for a profit.
Yeah.
She's not, like, being a landlord, really. She's just trying to get a mortgage. And they get on the elevator. And the reporter asks her about three missing white neighbors. And Letty's like, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
And she doesn't, because this all happened while she was down in the basement.
Yeah, but she had to have found, like, the bodies.
Well,
unless
that's
the ghost
thing. I don't think so. I don't think so, right? Because we saw that ghost on the elevator.
True. Unless the ghost got rid of the bodies.
I think they did. Which is extremely helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, ghosts.
Right. And they get off the elevator, and then the elevator, we stay on the elevator, and it keeps going down and down and down. And we start seeing symbols like the ones we saw in the Braithwaite house light
on
up.
On the bridge,
right?
Yeah.
Right, on the bridge, and also on the door when there's that force field.
Yeah.
So whenever they use this magic, you'll see these symbols light up on whatever they're trying to magic, I guess.
Yeah.
So we see it in the ground, and the... elevator continues to go down, and
get to the basement.
See,
basement
into the like past the sub basement
under the house,
under
the earth,
into earth, right? And there's this huge tunnel, and we see the bodies of the three neighbors, and then we see dozens of other skeletons, and it just seems to go on for I don't know how long.
And the lights are turning on,
right?
Like
because they're
for
motion
like,
sensor lights. It
yeah,
seems like.
So, what the fuck happened in this house?
I have an idea of what this is.
Is it another, like, Sons of Adam gathering, or...
Well, once we get to this next scene, I'll tell you what my idea is.
Okay. And so, cut to Atticus standing outside of the realtor's office. Because when he met up with Letty at the pub... She was like, J.J. Jackson, like, sold me this house. He was kind of sketchy on
it
the previous
like,
owners.
It was like Jamal Jerome Jackson or something like that. It was a very black name.
I was like, that is the blackest name I've ever seen. But, and so he's standing outside, and, like, he walks in, and dun-dun-dun, Christina is back!
Yeah.
And looking very nice in that blue outfit, I must say.
Always,
that was,
always very stylish. Yeah. She is. But it's very clear Christina hired the realtor to get Letty to buy that house with the money that she gave Letty.
Yeah. And it probably,
so this
like...
this all been orchestrated by her.
Yeah, and it was probably just, like, you know, sell the house for undervalue, make it, like, this fantastic deal. Like, so it's so low that she can't say no to it, right?
And definitely sell it to her and no one else.
Yeah, to her and no one else. And so Atticus comes in, and Christina's just like, JJ, you better go. And so that black man is just like, whoop, whoop, gotta go, like in the color purple.
Right, exactly.
whoop, gotta go. and so he leaves, and Atticus is just like, Letty's inheritance didn't come from her mother, did it? It came from you. And so he closes and locks the door, and starts, like, you know, closing the blinds. And Christina starts giving the history of, or an a history slash explanation of why she did this.
First, he tries to shoot her.
Yes.
And he can't. He can't move. He's frozen in place.
Yeah, so her power, it seems like, is force fields or stillness or freezing people in place.
Yeah, definitely, definitely force fields, barriers, some kind of thing like that.
Yeah. And she's saying that, essentially it's like, oh, how did you figure it out? He was just like, Winthrop was carved into the frame of your father's favorite painting. And so, and he's just like, you know, I came here to do something, but also came here to make sure you stay the fuck away from my family. Mm-hmm. And that's when she freezes him. And so she starts being real calm. She's a white woman wizard with powers. And she's just like, you know, Winthrop was Titus Braithwaite's, like, not his right-hand man, but a part of the same order.
Right. Part of the founding members of the Sons of Adam.
And he was tired of Titus having all this power, so he took some of the, like, a section out of the Book of Names. And was trying to decipher, to come up with his own spells and languages. He wanted to have power.
Right. Because apparently some of the members of the Sons of Adam, if they're disciplined enough, can come up with about one usual great spell in their lifetime.
Yeah.
And she says that her father's was invulnerability, because he believed if you couldn't be hurt, you couldn't be killed, you'd live forever.
Yeah.
And that he had to remove that spell when they were doing the ceremony.
Yeah, which is why Attis is able to kill him and all those other dudes.
Right. Which just this also further backs up my theory that she planned for Uncle George to find that book.
Probably.
Yeah. And she gave Attis that ring, you know, everything like that.
Yeah.
And she says Winthrop was kicked out of the group for stealing these pages, and he hid them in a booby-trapped vault.
Yeah.
In that house. So those pages are in that house somewhere. And she's like, if with those pages we could decipher the language of Adam.
Yeah, we have a complete book. Yeah.
Right. And she's like, you know, if we can do all this with just some pages, think what we could do with the whole book.
Yeah. And like, and the doctor, Hiram Epstein, was a follower of Winthrop.
Right.
And so his experimentations could have had something to do with the Sons of Adam and trying
and those missing pages.
Get those missing pages.
So, I think that tunnel beneath the house is part of the vault where those pages are. And she's saying the vault is booby-trapped, and that's why we have all those skeletons down there.
So people didn't get that far.
Right, people trying to get to these pages and not making it.
Yeah. And then, like, and she goes up to Attis, and she, like, you know, rattles off all of this history and stuff like that. It was like, you know, if we can have a completed book, think of what we can do. And, you know, if you want to hear more about our history, our legacy. And, like, and that kind of, with Christina, I was just like, okay. Like, she acknowledges Attis in full, which her father wouldn't do.
No.
But she kind of acknowledges him as, like, he is a part of this. And if he would just accept this power that I'm trying to give him, he could literally be...
trying to give him any power.
But she needs him.
She needs him to help her get power.
Yeah. Which, again, I state, please, I guess I'm fucking around with these white girls.
Okay, alright, because she's like, Tick, you gotta be smarter.
Smarter than this. You can't go around
killing
white women. I was just like, I mean, you're right.
Right.
You're right. Like, you know, like, I can't she's not wrong. I was like, you got a point there. Point Christina. And then episode ends. And I'm just like, God damn it, Lovecraft Country.
Yeah. And then thinking about it, I realized the three people they were talking about in the beginning who went missing are those three white neighbors.
Yeah. Those are three white dudes. I was just like, as soon as they broke into the house, I was like, oh. These are the three who are going to go missing. Okay.
I assumed they would be black. So I didn't think of it.
I was just like, who's going to be black people? I was like, no, it's white people. I'm cool with this. This is fine. You broke into somebody's house.
That's true.
Like, you brought this on yourself. Real talk.
Trying to
harm people. But this might be my favorite episode of the season so far.
It was really great.
It was great. And we're only 3 episodes in. Why do I feel like we're like 17 episodes in?
I know. I mean, you know, the first episode and this episode in particular both feel like their own movies.
Yes. This is like a full, like, ride, like, you know, ascension, like, plateau, like, climax, plateau, like, resolution.
All of that, right.
All of that.
You get so much story.
You get so much story, and it's just like, and I can't even say it's a slog, because it's not a slog.
Not at all.
It's just like, you're hitting us with so much, and you're giving us history, and you're giving us context, and you're giving us points of fact, and the facts you give us, you artistically hide within the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with the names.
One of my favorite things about this show so far is how much of the reality of Black experience is brought in, not only through the storytelling that you would have found in the book, but also, you know, we had the visuals of the Gordon Parks photos. We have, you know, the James Baldwin, the Gil Scott-Heron. We have, you know, the nods to Emmett Till and Gil Scott-Heron and Baldwin again.
Yeah.
You know, that just make it such, like, a meal of a TV show.
Yeah. Like, you leave full. You can't go back for seconds.
I mean, you can go back for seconds, and you probably will find some more, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's just so much packed into there.
Well, that concludes this episode of Lovecraft Country Crossing, Episode 3, Holy Ghost. And thank you all for joining us, and we hope to see you again next week. Bye!
Bye!
This is the end of the line. Thank you for crossing Lovecraft Country with us. If you'd like to contact us, follow us on Twitter at LCCCrossing, where we live tweet every Sunday. Follow Megan at Ephemeral Quiet and Maria at Valar More Dollars. Our intro and outro music is courtesy of ALBM Productions. Please subscribe, rate, review, and share our podcast so other fellow travelers can cross with us.